Hello, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute.
Nope. Yeah?
What?
Nope. Oh, because it looked weird for
Why
a second.
Why are you saying nope?
I thought it wasn't plugged in right. You can leave that all in that I messed up. Don't edit it out. Go with it, man. Don't stop. We gotta go.
This isn't gonna work.
It's totally gonna work. Let's do it.
Because you're all over the place. You're a ball of energy.
Let's do it.
All right, man. All right. Hi, everybody. And welcome to... I'll just cut it all out. Hello, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute, our twice-weekly podcast where we talk about Blade Runner 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And today's minute 59.
When will this be on the air?
I don't know. Couple.
What are we up to online? A
couple weeks. Right, as we're recording this, I think 52.
Okay, good. I'm going to plug Girl Scout cookies. If anyone wants Girl Scout cookies, hit me up. Okay, go ahead.
Jesus Christ.
She needs to go camping.
Minute 59 starts with Zora falling to the
She continues her tumble.
The shop floor. Jesus, how did I write that? Mm-hmm. And it ends with Leon standing on the street.
Mm-mm.
Yes, it does.
It ends on Deckard's face.
Not at 59.
59 it was, because I just paused it.
Well, maybe for you it was 59, yada, yada, yada.
No, for me, yada, 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 yada. And I stopped beautiful exactly on 59.
Well, so did okay. I on the laptop. I don't know okay. what to tell you. What are you. How many things you want to argue with me?
I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you were sitting next to me when I did it.
For me, it ended on Leon. Okay.
Okay, because I have a note about Deck, so I know it's not.
So you probably went over a little bit, it sounds like. Because I stopped at 59. As soon as it hit 59, I stopped.
Okay.
Did you go to zero, zero? Maybe you went to double zeros.
That's what I was on exactly in 59 seconds.
Well, then you're in the next
okay.
minute.
Okay, I'll save it. Go on. It ends on Leon.
You're so upset now. It ends on Leon. He's back. He's just standing there.
From outer space.
Presumably watching.
Literally from outer space.
This unfold. That Deckard just... So Deckard just to catch up. Deckard just shot Zora in the back. She fell through the store window. She like ran through it. And she's going down, man. She's not looking good.
Can I do my rehash of, like, the wounds? Because I'm keeping track?
Yes.
Like,
yes,
JFK? Let's keep up. Back and to the left?
Yes, let's keep up with the wounds.
Because this is, like, the magic bullet.
It's
the magic bullet theory.
With the... How many times Deckard fired versus how many shots are on Zora's
right.
back.
So, in the last minute, he had shot twice. And then we clearly see she gets shot in the back once. So, it's 3 shots fired. Right? She has 1 wound. As she goes to her tumble... You clearly see 2 wounds on her back, left and right. And then as she's doing her tumble, you see what looks like an exit wound or another shot in the middle of her chest. I don't know if exactly it's an exit wound because the angles, you know, I'm not the prosecutors in JFK to map out the exit wounds for one of those. It's possible it could be an exit wound. But in another shot, when she starts to run again, you don't see it. It goes away.
Maybe it was just lint.
Sure, maybe. I don't think so, but sure.
I thought so.
It's possible.
Deckard fires again in this minute.
He fires again.
Zora takes a shot in her back, goes through her chest.
That one we see come out through the middle of her chest, which is the same spot that the earlier one looked like it was in.
Right, so they just...
They snipped little pieces of the film together to show the
incorrectly.
Tumble.
She goes through 2 more windows, hits the floor, this time stays down.
Now, after she was shot... With a tumble, you see her get up. She's holding her right hand in a fist. And when we see her later, she's still holding her hand in a fist.
Mm.
I don't know why she keeps her hand in a fist, like clenched the whole time.
I don't know.
Again, it could just be those continuity errors that they spliced the film in a way.
Yeah, that's interesting.
To, you know, make it so. Movie magic. Why are there so many windows? Oh, and that right shoulder shot, that one that she took when she got down, you do see that exit. Again, but I think you mentioned that. I'm sorry. I think I just stepped all over you.
No, you didn't.
Why are there so many windows?
In the store?
Yeah.
She's probably like walking through where people... She's probably going the wrong way. She's zigging where people zag. Like, those are probably little hallways you walk down.
And they look like display cases. They do, but that's a lot of windows.
Look at the clothes, and maybe there's a key to open up a door and go in and change.
Wayne's World.
Mannequin. Wayne's World? Which part?
I just walk back and forth. With this plate glass.
There needed to be glass for her to go through. It's odd or funny or weird or appropriate or fitting or a thing that she died in a place where she definitely would have shopped.
She would have shopped there.
You saw, judging by the mannequins, the type of clothes that were on the mannequins. Right.
I think it's, there's a few really interesting things with symbolism for this scene.
Symbolism.
Symbolism. One, it's a place of consumerism, mm-hmm. you know, buying and selling. She's bought and sold because she's a replicant. She doesn't really have her own ownership. And then there's the symbolism of, not really symbolism, juxtaposition, I guess, between these inanimate mannequins, these fake, and then this thing that is real. Whether we think she's human, she's real and can move. I didn't say alive, but she's real and can move. And here's this clear toy, but this other thing that moves and breathes and thinks that we say is a toy as well. So it's this really interesting thing that he's trying to get us to think without telling us to think about it.
Yeah.
And it's just like the cigarette burn, like the flash of the penis real quick on the screen in Fight Club, that you don't see it, but you know it was there.
Right.
You're unsettled by it. The other thing this all brought to mind was philosophers who say, like, I think, therefore I am. And then, if you prick us, do we not bleed? That that's a symbol of your humanity. I'm the same as you. Shakespeare with, if you prick us, do I not bleed? She shot multiple times and reacts the same way we would have reacted to any gunshot. If she was purely mechanical, they would have programmed those into her. But she's clearly afraid, and she's clearly in pain, struggling and fighting for her life. She gets up and tries to keep running after the first shot hit her. That's, you know, that's what living things do. We fight for our lives. We fight to be alive. By tooth and nail, our animals will chew their own legs off if they're stuck in a trap. Like what, like in Saw, like what, the first one, like what wouldn't you do to stay alive? So doesn't that mean she's a living thing?
No.
Why not?
She was made in a lab.
So what?
No, it's a joke. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I don't know.
No, I agree with you. No, you do know. You made a great point just now.
I know. I've been thinking about that for the last few weeks. I think someone online had brought it up too, whether they're alive or not, and we talked about the character. Me, I think Paul and I had a very good conversation about
it. We can end the episode right here. That was good. You nailed it. I don't know where else we can go from there.
I got some other stuff I want to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want to talk about Deckard. We didn't talk about Deck in this at all. So after she falls, he starts running. He doesn't run. He walks up to her.
He's walking, and there's people behind him covering their eyes.
And he's scared, huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
Like an old fart who's out of shape.
Drunk. Like an old drunk. His worms spitting out
and
his mouth.
And the crowd is horrified because they think he shot a human. They don't know.
Nobody knows what's going on.
Nobody knows. Because the tableau that was set up in front of us is this dude, I don't know that he's a cop, this dude shot this chick. And she's clearly hot. Like, oh my God, he shot that hot girl.
Why couldn't he have killed an ugly person?
Yeah, like, oh my God, this poor girl.
That's the headline.
That's the How did that top stay on her?
Attractive woman.
Wait a second,
killed.
How did that top stay on?
Because movie.
Because movie.
I told you.
It's also interesting that they chose that clear raincoat. Not because they wanted us to see her figure the whole time, or not only that, because they wanted, because we already saw topless, so we don't really need to see her half naked in this, but more so that we can see the wounds as they happen.
Yes.
And then, so Deck walks up and he looks horrified.
I need your dicks.
Like he can't believe this, that he did this and this happened. He looks stunned by it. It's interesting to me, and then I know you haven't read the whole book.
Right? Which book?
Do Androids Dream of
Do Androids Electric Dream of Electric Sheep? Of course.
Yes. So her character isn't Zora. You know, it's Lubaloft, and she's this opera singer. Lubaloft does not try to run for her life. She tries to convince the person to leave rather than run for her life or try to fight for her life in any way, because there is no real, like, Zora character, right?
Right.
I don't know, it was interesting that Philip K. Dick wrote it as someone who will take like, not going to fight for their lives. But Ridley saw it as, no, they're going to fight for their lives. They're going to do everything they can to stay alive.
How did Lubo die in the book?
What's his face? Not Deckard. Shot her after she was... I think he shot her. Someone with an R. I can't remember his name right now. After she was making fun of him and trying and saying, well, you're the replicant. Not that replicant. They called them what? Andes then?
Yeah. See, I have to read that again. I haven't read
so
that.
So do I. That's why I'm hazy on some of the names and facts. She was kind of like poking and prodding the sleeping bear of calling him an Andy and saying that he's the only like skin job, I guess you could say here. And he got really upset and he shot her. I may have mixed up some of the details. I apologize. It's been a while since I've read the book. I'm kind of on protest reading those things until after this is over.
Did they turn her over yet? Or then is that
they start picking her up.
She's petrified, you see? Her body, like, petrified. It's, like, frozen, solid, stiff.
Yeah, like, when they picked her up, she looked
very
stiff.
She's like a board, yeah. She's like, as they flip her over, she's completely solid. In place, like stone, like frozen.
And you can see that it's not real glass. You can see that it's plate glass because it broke in pieces and not it didn't shatter the way glass does. It broke odd.
It's a movie.
Well, I'm just saying, like
nowadays. She's not really a replica.
Nowadays, they would have went back and like broken up the glass to make it look like the way real glass.
He didn't really shoot her.
I don't know. I liked seeing. I think it was interesting. Not liked seeing it. I think it was interesting the way they put the mannequins and her and all of those little details. And then there's Leon.
Just standing there.
He looks so horrified and upset and distressed. Like, oh my God, it's horrible. I'm not going to get to see her
point,
naked.
There's a heartbeat over the... What did you say?
I'm not going to get to see her naked anymore.
That's not nice. There's a heartbeat over the soundtrack.
Yes.
So you asked me, what's that heartbeat for?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's probably Zora's. And it'll probably fade... As she dies. Then they show Deckard approaching the window. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's Deckard's to show his adrenaline pumping in this...
Well, it wasn't a fast heartbeat, so I don't think it was Deckard's.
In this fight. And then we saw Leon. I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's definitely Leon's because his heart is his emotion is getting the best of him right now watching Zora die.
I don't think it was Deckard's because an adrenaline rush heartbeat would sound much faster.
Right, it's nobody's. Is my point. Like, it's.
Do you think the crowd heard it, or it was just for us as the movie viewer?
The heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
The in the movie.
Yeah.
No, that's for
it's
us.
Just for us.
That's for the
like
viewer.
The soundtrack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, it probably is a real heartbeat. It's probably no. It's for that person whose heart is beating in the movie. They can feel it and hear it. So either.
Do they have beating hearts? I guess they have. If they need the VK machine to see if they're human or not.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't, you would just hold the stethoscope.
Well, there's blood in them.
There's blood
in
them.
So we saw Zora.
There's something pumping blood.
So something needs to pump that blood.
I still haven't figured out how much they're biological and how much they're mechanical. And it's always going to bother me.
I think they're biological enough to be considered alive. Rachel's alive. Leon's alive. They're angry. They have goals. They have things they want to do. They're motivated. They're smart.
I think therefore I am.
But they're made that way. It always comes back down to that.
But they went against their programming.
But they were still given that head start. They were still taken to that point. Did you win the race if you were carried 5 feet before the finish line?
I don't know.
Did you really win it? You know? No, of course not.
I know you've never been a fan of the Enderverse, because you haven't read it or anything. Not a fan that you don't like it, fan that you're not, you've never
I heard about it book. When the movie was coming out.
Don't judge by the movie, get out
and
of
I read,
movie.
So I read the the graphic novel, which I didn't like, and then I explained it to you, and you were like, wow, they cut out a bunch of great stuff. The graphic novel's never, that's like reading the graphic novel of The Hobbit.
I think I mentioned in our Listening Society fan club group, whatever we call it, the page, that in one of the later Enderverse books, there's Jade.
Our gang.
We're a gang. Can we get matching shirts?
We're the White Dragons.
Okay, no, we can't call ourselves that.
Why?
Because that's not appropriate today.
What is it?
It's just, it sounds racist.
We're the Dragons. We're the Rainbow Dragons.
Can we just call ourselves the Noodles?
We're the Noodles.
In one of the later books, they have a character named Jane, and Jane lives on the Ansible. The Ansible is the thing that they use to communicate over quicker than light speed, over distance. Mm-hmm. She lives amongst the Ansibles that are stored on all the different planets that they've colonized. So she thinks, she plans, she considers herself alive, but she has no physical form. Would she be alive to you? She thinks there's before she is. She goes against the programming, because there was no programming for her. She was just made up of all these little bits of data. Would she be alive?
What is alive?
That's the question what that we've been asking in the group.
Am I alive? Am I alive?
You know, we went to the basics of biology
says. No, but hold on a second. Wait. So you wake up, you breathe, you know, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, you go to work. You do your work, you get paid, you come home.
I wouldn't say that's alive.
You eat dinner, right? 90, well, not 90, but a large percentage of humans do this.
Yes.
They wake up in a box, they go out into the box, and it has wheels on it, and it takes them to the other box.
Very Alice in Chains.
Where they go and make their money, or they'll be fired, and they won't have money to live in their box, or afford to drive their box.
To buy the
it's
box.
It's all, you know, you and then you die, and they put you in a box.
So what's your point?
So... I don't know. Like, what's a life? Like, who are these people? The people that are alive probably aren't listening to us right now. They're in the world. They're on the ocean. They made their own boat.
So people going out there in the world?
Out there in the world.
We're going to go see the Harry Potter exhibit right now. That doesn't make us alive that we're going to go see the Harry Potter exhibit?
It's subjective.
So
it's up to you.
Being alive is subjective. But I'm asking you...
Being happy is being alive, maybe.
Okay, that's different.
Let's say that.
Most of the people out there are not happy, so let's not go into that one.
If you're not happy, you're not alive.
So, do you think this computer...
If the computer's getting satisfaction from its daily duties, yes, it's alive.
What if she's not satisfied and wants more?
Well, then I guess the desire to be happy also makes you alive.
So, the pursuit of happiness? Or the pursuit of homeostasis, at least?
Yeah.
Can we say the pursuit of... Because, you know, there are amoebas who can't think the way we think, and they're alive.
Yeah. If you're problem solving to better yourself, then you're probably alive.
So if they shut off all the Ansibles that kept her alive, you know, those are her life support, right? Those are her heart, her liver, all that.
Yeah.
Would they be killing her?
Yeah, of course.
So Deckard committed murder. It's not retiring.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Deckard's a murderer.
We took a long way to get there, but okay, cool.
Deckard's a murderer. And he's a
government sanction.
And he's a self-hating replicant.
I don't think he's a replicant, so that's not the point.
Well, you go tweet Ridley Scott and have fun with that.
I don't
with
care.
Have fun with that peaceful conversation that he'll give you.
I don't care what Ridley Scott says, because everybody else who watches the movie says something else. And you know what? I think he should have left it open to interpretation. I don't think he should have answered that question.
Well, I told you where I stand. From viewing to viewing, my opinion changes.
And I think that's as it should be. That's the point of these kinds of things. Like, it's... I think it should be open for interpretation, and that's why this movie is one of the reasons it's so loved.
And that's why I own the 5-disc, the Blu-ray set. Like, I watch all the different versions.
At the same time?
No.
You should.
Depending on my mood. I'll watch the original.
So if you feel he's a replicant,
which
you'll watch...
I watched the original recently with the voiceover, way better than I remember it being. Like, I think I caught it on HBO years ago, and I was like, this is annoying, and I was just being kind of snooty about it.
You didn't have appreciation for older movies unless it was Star Wars back then.
I didn't mind the voice acting either. It was a little goofy, but the info you get from that voiceover is more interesting.
You have much more appreciation for older movies now than you did then. Back then, you would never have watched, like, The Last Unicorn. You would never have watched the animated... I know you do.
I love The Last Unicorn.
You would never have watched the animated Hobbit back then. You didn't even want to go see the first Lord of the Rings in the theaters with me because you were like, stupid old book.
I heard ogres and trolls, and I got turned off.
And then you saw it on cable.
I was a Star Wars kid.
I know, and then you saw it on cable and
lasers,
you said...
Lasers, spaceships.
What is this awesomeness?
Yeah, that was really good. No, we rented the DVD from Blockbuster.
We didn't rent the DVD. I was watching it on HBO.
I'm telling you, we rented the DVD from Blockbuster.
Because I'd already seen it on HBO or something.
Okay, right. But I first saw it when we went to Blockbuster on 86th Street and rented the DVD.
And you loved it.
Absolutely adored it.
And then because you liked the trailer for Two Towers, that's why you...
Yeah, because they had the music from Requiem for a Dream.
And that made you want to watch the first. Does anyone do the Requiem for a Dream minute?
Oh my god, that'd be the most depressing podcast ever.
I can't do it. I can't do it. Braver people than me. The movie, you can't. You just can't. I can't. I would be in a mental
situation. What would you do for the SAS minute?
I would cry the whole time.
What and if that's it wasn't long... in a minute? What if you had to sit through a week of that? Ugh.
Oh no, you couldn't do that.
So Zora's down. We just met her and she's dead already. Leon is standing there staring at Deckard. Something's about to go down.
And there you have it, folks.
It's a sad, sad moment. Actually, I'm really saddened to see this heroic character Deckard be exposed as not really a hero. He's a bureaucrat.
It depends on if you think replicants are alive or not.
He's a sucker.
Do you think anybody watches this and says, "F you, replicants"? He's doing his job.
He's just a suit. He's just being told to kill them.
But do you think people watch this and think, who cares about the replicants?
Of course.
Wow.
Well, that's, you know, it's a movie. You could do it, you know.
I know they could do what they want.
There are people that like the Jedi Order. There are people that watch Star Wars and actually think the Jedi Order is interesting. Starting from like episode 1, 2, 3, like the dudes that just sit there all day.
Oh, you mean the council?
The council, the whole order. The dudes in the you know, the guys that wear the same robes that Owen Lars wore and everybody else on Tatooine wore. So now all of a sudden all the Jedi have to wear robes too.
I think the concept... There are people who
aren't bored by the Jedi.
I think the concept is what people like rather than the way it played out. Like, they want to like it because they've loved so much of the EU over the years. Like, I want to love that Jedi Council.
It's amazing how interesting it was at first when we went... I remember 1999 going into that theater thing, and then like it all played out and whatever. Jar Jar was what it was, but you're still seeing a Star Wars movie for the first time in a while, however long it had been at that point, like 14 years or whatever. And then you go in there and you see Yoda and Sam Jackson and all these different weird aliens and this vista behind them and all the flying cars. And but then you break it down, it's they never did anything. They just sat there.
I don't know. Wrap it up there. Leon, very sad. And he's all wet.
So Leon's sad.
Leon's sad and he's all wet.
And he's wet because he's standing in the rain?
Yeah. I can't stand the rain. We should start doing that, figuring out a song to end on every week.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you. We're here from you. Right, you'll hear us.
In the Nexus of the Universe?
For the 60th minute.
Should we do one of those popper things the next week?
The 60th minute is next. That's huge.
And we're not going to do a popper until we reach the midway point.
We don't do poppers. We're not that kind of couple.
No. You mean like the ones you do on New Year's where you pop the thing and like
streamers. I know what you meant.